Believer's Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another, and indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words.
Life was filled with guns and war, and everyone got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. Children died, the days grew cold. A piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. Asleep in bed, she hears a noise and turns her head. He's gone. I wish we'd all been ready. Two men walking up a hill, one disappears and one's left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has will left behind.
Lesson 186, The Rapture of the Church. In our last lesson, we learned about the joyful report that had come to Paul from Timothy concerning the believers in Thessalonica. They were standing for Christ in the midst of persecution and growing in their love. Today, Paul will help them to think correctly about the coming of the Lord for his church, what is commonly called the rapture. Paul uses the last portion of this letter to correct some potential problems in Thessalonica. One of the problems seems to be that there was some sexual immorality among the church, or at least the threat of it. The second problem was a misunderstanding the Thessalonians had concerning the coming of the Lord for his church. Paul is exhorting the believers to abound in their spiritual walk, learning how to please God. This is certainly a noble pursuit in life, not seeking to please ourselves, but God who created us and sent his Son to be our Redeemer. He reminds the Thessalonians of the commandments he had given them through the Lord Jesus concerning their sanctification. This means to be set apart for God's holy purposes. This means the pollution of sins have to be removed from our Christian lives. He specifically mentions abstaining from sexual immorality. He thus introduces the first problem that may have been among the believers at Thessalonica. There are many forms of sexual immorality, but he has in mind the sin of adultery, as the context will show us. He therefore says that every man should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. By vessel, it seems Paul is talking about the body and the need to control our bodies so they do not lead us down pathways of lust and sin. This is how the ungodly behaved, giving full place to their sinful appetites and enjoying sex outside of the covenant of marriage. He further adds that no one should defraud his brother in this matter. He is perhaps dealing with someone in the church who may have been taking sexual interest in another brother's wife, perhaps trying to lure her to be with him. If a man should violate the marriage covenant of a brother, he is not only sinning against that brother and his wife, but also fighting against God, who holds the marriage covenant as sacred. Marriage is to be a reflection of the love of Christ for his bride, the church. When men destroy the beautiful image of God's love, it makes God very angry, and he will most certainly judge such wicked behavior. Let's all be sure to value the marriages of our family and friends and never do anything to separate what God has joined together, lest we bring upon us God's wrath. The Bible says fornicators and adulterers God will judge. There is no question about this. The Thessalonian church needed to hear and understand this because of the immoral and ungodly influence in their time and culture. When it came to brotherly love, the Thessalonians did not need further instructions from Paul, for he could see plainly from their actions that they were being taught to show love through the work of the Holy Spirit. Their love had spread from their own church fellowship to all the believers in the surrounding areas. Though they excelled in love for their brothers in Christ, Paul exhorts them to love even more, because Christian love should always grow and increase. This is the nature of God's love. It continues to spread, becoming deeper and richer, not stagnant or weak. Paul touches on another problem that he will discuss more in his second letter to the Thessalonians. He says that the believers should seek to lead a quiet life, mind their own business, and work with their own hands. They should have a good testimony in their community to show that Christians were honorable people who did not expect others to pay their way for them, but were willing to work for their own support. When a man puts in an honest day's work, he can expect an honest day's pay and have his basic needs for food and clothing met. God expects his children to be responsible members of society and not lazy parasites feeding off the kindness and charity of others. The remaining part of this chapter deals with the doctrine of the rapture. Here we are taught that the Lord will return someday to catch away His church and bring her to heaven to be with Him forever. The problem the Thessalonians were having was that some of them were grieving because some of their Christian friends had died, and they were under the impression that these dead Christians had missed out on the rapture of the church and would somehow miss God's blessing of being with Christ. However, Paul dispels this false notion by pointing out that at the rapture, those who have died in Christ will rise first. Then Christians who are alive on the earth when the Lord comes will meet the Christians of former ages, now raised with glorified bodies, and together we shall meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be forever with our Lord. These words were designed to comfort believers, and they still afford comfort at Christian funerals as we remind ourselves that the body laid in the grave will one day rise again to be with the Lord, that is, if they were indeed true Christians. Some things we should take notice of regarding the rapture. The Bible does not specifically use the word rapture, but the Greek word for being caught up conveys the word and truth of what we mean by the rapture, which is a snatching away. We also learn that the rapture is not by angels, but it is the Lord Himself that will descend from heaven, and with the sound of a trumpet and the voice of an archangel. Whether everyone will hear the coming of the Lord at the rapture is uncertain, but I have no doubt that those who are followers of Jesus will hear His shout, just as Lazarus in the tomb heard His voice and rose up to meet the Lord. The rapture is only for those who are believers, as is clearly stated in this text. This is not the same as the resurrection of the living and dead. This is the snatching away of believers to be with the Lord. When Christ comes to the earth to reign, He comes to the Mount of Olives and not to the air to catch away His church. So the rapture and the second coming of Christ are to be understood as two separate and distinct future events. The church is looking forward not to the second coming, though we shall be with Him at that time. We are looking forward to the sudden rapture into His presence. Have you prepared for that day by taking Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Why not trust in the Lord Jesus today so you can look forward to the rapture? Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17.
Life was filled with guns and war, and everyone got trampled on the floor. How we wish we'd all been made. Children died, the days grew cold, a piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. How could you have been so blind? The Father spoke, the demons died. The Son has come, and you've been left behind.
And now for today's Bible question. In today's lesson, we learned the importance of keeping our bodies under control so that lust does not lead us down the path of sin. We also learned about the Lord coming to snatch away the church from this world in what we call the rapture. Someone might ask the question, when can we expect the rapture to occur? When Paul teaches the Thessalonians about the rapture of the church, he spoke in the first person and said, "When we which are alive and remain." This shows us that Paul himself and believers of his day had the hope that the rapture could take place at any moment. We know that the next event in the prophetic calendar to occur, according to what the Bible teaches, is the rapture of the church. This is followed by a 7-year period of judgment upon the earth called the tribulation period, and after the tribulation, Christ will return to rule and reign upon the earth in His millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. This prophetic outline is well accepted among evangelicals and scholars today, but there are also many who hold to different views of prophecy. Some think the rapture will occur during the tribulation period or at the end of it. Whatever view we hold, we certainly can deduce that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which means it will come as a great surprise to most. Paul speaks in his letter to the Corinthians about the instantaneous transformation of our bodies into the glorified eternal bodies that resemble the glorified body of our Lord. This, we believe, will take place at the moment of the rapture, when Christ raises those who have died in Christ and Christians living at that time. In that split second of time, the entire church, including all those from the day of Pentecost until the rapture, will be together in the presence of Christ and with new glorified bodies. If we accept this clear understanding of Scripture, that the Lord's coming will take everyone by surprise, and we know the rapture inaugurates the period we call the day of the Lord, when Christ comes to visit the earth with his judgment and to reign, then we can deduce that the rapture is the next major event of the Lord's intervention into this world. When the Lord comes to take the church, it should not be an utter surprise to Christians, for they are provided with many signs of the times in the Scriptures. We can see, for instance, the rise of the nation of Israel after being dormant as a nation for 2,500 years. This in itself is a remarkable fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies about Israel. We also know from Scripture that during the coming tribulation period, God once again will take up Israel as his primary focus of interest as he restores this nation and fulfills his promises to Abraham and King David. Not only does Israel figure prominently in end times prophecy, but also there are many signs our Lord spoke of that will characterize the last times before the coming of the Lord. These signs are likely to be seen during the tribulation and are called the beginnings of sorrows, signs in the heavens and in the earth. We could perhaps discern these times are coming upon us since we have seen an increase in these signs in the last century, and in particular the last few years. There appears to be an increase in earthquakes and natural disasters. The mention of famine and pestilence also has increased, as we see new diseases like AIDS affecting more and more, and some more areas suffering from lack of food and starvation. We also see wars and other signs mentioned in Revelation, such as globalization. Some of these have been with us for a long while, but others are certainly characteristic of our present age and all point to the soon appearing of our Lord in judgment. The Bible also describes the time before the Lord returns as similar in character to the days of Noah when violence filled the earth and the days of Lot when homosexuality was accepted and practiced. Today there is plenty of violence in our world, but one could argue that this has always been the case, but it seems to be getting more heinous. We heard not so long ago of a young man walking into a primary school and opening fire on the children, killing around 20 children and some of the teachers. This would have been unthinkable in previous generations, but today, with weapons so widely available, and the sick and confused state of the world, it seems to be common now for these kind of sick and violent acts on innocent lives. We certainly notice how homosexuality is on the rise in our world today, particularly in more developed countries where even laws are being passed to support such wickedness. It is for these reasons that the wrath of God will be poured out on this world. Discerning exactly when the Lord is coming for his church is not certain, but those who believe the Bible and what it says about the Lord's coming certainly have plenty of evidence that the rapture could be at any moment from now. The Bible does not provide us with an exact date, and unfortunately some false Bible teachers have sought to set dates, only bringing confusion and reproach upon the church. Believers in Christ can be assured that one day, perhaps very soon, we will be caught away to be with the Lord. The question is, are you ready for that day? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student.
Jesus sent me when a stranger, wandering down the full of God, came to rescue me from danger, interposed His precious blood. To grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a feather bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love.
If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life." If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believers Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God. Fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. There's a day that's drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. Victory is won. He is risen.